So in Psalm 84, we read, "For the director of music, according to Gittith of the sons of Korah, the psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob, Selah. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you." This is God's inspired, inerrant word. Let us sing together Psalm 42, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. we turn to God's Word in Psalm 84, as we read, Psalm 84 is our text. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the temple in Jerusalem, there were men continually serving God. Each day they served Yahweh in the place of worship where His presence dwelled. These were the Levites, one of the tribes of Israel who were called by God to minister in the house of the Lord. One of the three divisions of the Levites were the Kohathites, also known as the sons of Korah, the human author of Psalm 84. The sons of Korah were in charge of opening the temple gates every morning and closing them every evening. These men guarded the doors of the temple and the treasures within. They have been called the custodians of the house of the Lord as they took care of the pieces of furniture used for worshiping God. As one author said, their life, love, and labor revolved around God's temple in Jerusalem. They lived and breathed the house of the Lord. What circumstances did God use to inspire one of the sons of Korah to pen Psalm 84? Some have suggested that he became separated from the house of the Lord, which is what a son of Korah experienced in the context of Psalm 42. However, I don't think Psalm 84 clearly indicates being separated from the house of God from the writer's perspective. The human writer of Psalm 84 was present in the temple serving God when he was inspired to write it. God led him to express how intensely his soul longed for, even fainted for God's presence. With all his heart, he desired to worship and give God all praise among God's people. The sons of Korah longed for God's house, not because he was separated from it, but because that is where he was and always wanted to be. Now, he did not love the courts of the Lord because the temple was a grand, beautiful building. How lovely is your dwelling place is another way of saying to God, how beautiful you are. I love you, O God. I want to be in your presence. The psalmist longed and fainted for the courts of the Lord because it was God's dwelling place where he met with his people. His presence was represented by that physical space. The courts of the Lord were the area around the holy place where the worshipers would gather. Today we don't need to go to Jerusalem to worship God. We know that where each local congregation meets together for worship, the Lord fills that place with His holy presence. God meets with His gathered people in each local church of Jesus Christ, where His word is proclaimed. Ephesians 2 says, "You are members of the household of God. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." In 1 Corinthians 3, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" In the New Covenant, the house of the Lord is not a building. The church is the congregation of God's people, united to Christ by the Holy Spirit. Blessed are those who worship God in His house. Our God is present everywhere. But he promises to be especially present in a special way in the company of his people, to meet with us when and where we gather together to worship him. When talking about the local church, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." The son of Korah exclaimed, "My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." His heart is filled with joy as he thinks deeply about the greatness and goodness of his God. He is overflowing with love for his Creator. His whole body radiates joy as he sings songs of praise to the God of his salvation. Are we filled with joy at the thought of the living God? Do our souls long for the courts of the Lord and faint to be in God's presence? Faint means to grow weak with longing. Do our desires even come close to truly longing for God? Do you love to go to the house of God because it is where you meet with God, where you hear His Word, sing His Word, pray to Him, and where you fellowship with the people of God? Partway through the week, say on Wednesday, do you look forward to when you can come again to the house of the Lord? Brothers and sisters, God Himself has provided this place and this day for us to gather each week to be in His presence to worship Him. He calls us to come here now to meet with Him. Here He will speak to us His Word, which is read, preached, and sung. Let us thank the Lord for this house of worship. Not because this building is special in itself, but because it is how the Lord is present with us in a special way. It is where we may worship God, where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, where the Holy Spirit builds us and shapes us into a spiritual house and holy temple. May our hearts be transformed in this place. Have you found your church home here? As the psalmist wrote the psalm, he noticed some birds who made their home in the house of God. These birds were not distracted from what they were doing. They were focused on making their home there at God's house. Will we do the same and make our home in the church where he meets with his people? Will you find your security and peace in God's presence? Our home is where we feel most safe. Our home is where we want to be. May your home be with God and with His people. In the Old Testament, the word translated as sparrow is usually translated as bird, although it sometimes refers to a specific bird like sparrow. In the Bible, the sparrow was a bird that had little value, something that was pretty much worthless. Despite their worthlessness, what does Jesus say about the sparrow? He says in Luke 12, "Not one of them is forgotten before God. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows." If a sparrow was worth less than a penny, but it found a home near the altar, will God not provide a home for you in his house, in the congregation of his people. If you feel small, insignificant, maybe like an outsider, you are not. You are valuable. You belong, each one of you. This is your home. You have infinite worth because God chose you to be his child. He gave his son for you. His son became your savior and died for you. What makes the temple special is having access to God through sacrifice. We find our home not at the altar, but at the cross, where Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. In the death of our Savior, we find all hope that one died for us so that we don't have to die in our sin. In the resurrection of our Lord, we find all joy to praise God each Lord's Day that our Savior lives. In the ascension of the King of Kings, we know that our Lord reigns over all and intercedes for us. And he sent his Spirit to the church to continue his ministry. In God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we find our home of worship. We are invited to come with confidence to God and worship him by means of the new and living way through the flesh of Jesus. He opened for us the way to God so that we may worship him. Now let's think about the swallow. Swallow making a home in the temple, building a nest for herself where she may lay her young. This is not how swallows normally behave. What was she doing before she came to the temple? Well, most of the time, swallows are in the air, flying in every direction, very quickly, constantly moving. This is what they do each day until it's time to prepare the birth for her young, at which time she settles down and rests peacefully on her nest. Swallows' busy movement from place to place are like those whose souls are busy searching for rest, joy, and peace in the wrong places. To try to find meaning and fulfillment apart from God is exhausting and an endless pursuit. Don't try it. The world cannot satisfy your eternal soul. This world is not our home. We must understand this. Augustine prayed, "Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee." When the swallow finally settles down to rest, it is a picture of people who find their life and rest in God. And the swallow with her young is a picture of the children who are welcome here. May the children find their home in God's house with his people. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When we come to Jesus and put our faith in him, then we have come home. First, we are saved by Jesus, and then he puts us into a worshiping family of God. The local church is our home, amongst our brothers and sisters, that we may find peace in God and rest in his Son. But what do you do when there are things that you don't like about the church? This world teaches us to be consumers. If we don't like something, we reject it, and then we go on to the next thing. If you don't like your home that you live in from day to day, you can do a major renovation or just move to a new house. We are often trying to find happiness in a perfect house or the perfect holiday, or the perfect job, or the perfect family, even the perfect church. But there is no perfect anything. The only reason the church is not perfect is no fault in God, but in the sinful people who make up the church. We have to be careful not to take the consumer mindset into the church. If you do, then the temptation is to leave and try to find something better when you realize that the church is not exactly like how you want it. Evaluate why you come here. Do you come seeking something worldly? Something from men? Or do you seek God? And to hear Him speak His very word. We must remember that we come to meet with God and worship Him. Church is about Him and His word. It's not ultimately about us. The first point is summarized in verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. There's great blessing in going to worship in the house of God. God's word commands us to gather to this holy gathering of worship where we can see God's beauty and find rest and satisfaction in Him. Psalm 99, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So examine your heart. How much do you value coming to church for worshiping Him and meeting with His people? Do you long for, even faint, for the presence of God? Do you gather for worship twice each Lord's Day? Doing all that you can not to miss any services. If one service is good, then two worship services is twice as good. God is worthy of all our worship. We need to grow from His word. We need to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. So let us not miss any opportunity to gather together in God's house for Him. And so we come to our second point. Blessed are those who journey to God's house. Our coming to church is a journey. Not everyone was so privileged like the sons of Korah who lived, loved, and labored in the house of God. Many of the people were scattered throughout the countryside, but their desire to worship God and His house with His people should be just as great as it was for the sons of Korah. They had to travel on a journey just to get to the house of God. So verse 5 says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are the highways to Zion. First, we must know in our heads that our rest is found in God, that our ultimate purpose for our lives is to worship God. But it's not enough to only know it in our heads. We must cultivate in our hearts a love for the presence of God, in the house of God, with the people of God. How often do we not feel like coming to worship on a given Lord's Day? But we must lead our hearts. We need to fight against going our own way, of satisfying ourselves instead of finding satisfaction in God. We must go to church even when we don't feel like it and ask for the Spirit's help to change our attitude. And to reinvigorate a love for His church and a hunger for His word and a love for His people. Understand and remember what God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done to make you a member of the church of Jesus Christ and to bring you here. God was the one who first pursued you to save you, to save us. He revealed to us who He is, His greatness, His mercy, His sovereignty. He is the Lord Almighty. He is in full command of all the angels of heaven, and He's in control of all the nations and kings of the earth. God extended His grace to us and accomplished our salvation. We need the forgiveness that comes through the blood of His Son. We needed His Spirit to give us a new heart and to keep changing us. Since God first pursued us and has given His Son for our salvation and His Spirit to dwell in us, then we should desire to spend the rest of our lives pursuing God and seeking to worship Him. It was a journey for the people of God to go to Zion, to Jerusalem. They had to go on highways and travel long distances. There were hardships along the way. This included going through the dry valley of Baca. Going through valleys are often difficult. The travelers had to travel through Baca on the way to the house of God. Baca is pronounced as in the same way as the Hebrew word for weeping. On the one hand, we come to the house of the Lord with joy. On the other hand, we may come with weeping, knowing our sin, knowing that our sin caused the suffering and death of the Son of God. And coming to the place of worship will involve challenge and difficulty. Seeking to hear the Word of God among His people will require sacrifice. It takes energy. What do you need to sacrifice in order to come here? What valleys do you need to go through in order to meet with your brothers and sisters? Sundays can be difficult for young children because their usual routines have been affected. Parents might be distracted by them in the worship service. There can be many things that pull our attention away on the Lord's Day. Desire to spend time with family. A temptation to sleep or be lazy. A longing for recreation. But sometimes you need to sacrifice something good for something better. So it is good to spend time with your immediate family. It is even better to worship God with your church family. People of Israel went on a long journey to get to the place of worship. Are you willing to go to great lengths to get here? Are you willing to make sacrifices for the corporate gathering? Will your love and great longing for the Lord and your love for His people drive you here? Do you believe that the body of Christ coming together to worship God is essential? Verse 6 says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. When these people who had zeal for the Lord were traveling along, they brought transformation through the strength they received from God. By God's strength, they were able to be joyful through the difficult dry valley. And as a result, whether literally or spiritually, God caused springs to gush forth and the early rains to come in the midst of the valley. We need spiritual endurance to make it through the valley of weeping to get here. But as we continue to seek God and worship Him faithfully with His people, the tears will be turned into blessings, becoming like springs and pools of refreshing water in an arid land. Our walk with God and our pursuit of worshiping Him is a journey. We go from strength to strength in the strength of God, and we strengthen one another along the way. We must encourage each other in our walk with God and even to our journey to church. God will keep providing new bursts of strength until finally each one of us appears before God in Zion. And so we can think of the traveling we do, the journey we do from Monday to Saturday until we come to the Lord's Day. At the end of verse 7, those who had to travel a challenging journey just to reach the place of worship have arrived. They are in the presence of God with their brothers and sisters. There's no better place. We can appear in God's presence only through Jesus Christ, who is our mediator before the Father. Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." The son of Korah prays specifically in verse 9 for the king, who is God's servant and representative. He is the anointed of God. This first refers to one of the kings in the line of David. But it points to someone else as well. Anointed in Hebrew is the word Messiah. Anointed points to Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name because it is only through our interceder that God hears our prayers. Jesus died so that we could be together here to worship God. He rose so that we could be a transformed, worshiping family. So we've now come to the final section of the psalm and the concluding point. Blessed is each one who follows and trusts in God. So, in case we've missed it, how important is the house of God where we meet together to worship Him? For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Can you say this? I would rather meet for worship for one Lord's Day than go anywhere else in the world for 1,000 days. How important and valuable is it to you to hear God's word and worship Him? For the son of Korah, he would rather be the lowliest of servants for God and be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. It is a choice we must make each day. Will I live for God or spend my day serving myself, serving my sinful nature? Each Lord's Day, we must make a decision. Will I specifically come to the place where God dwells, where I may worship Him, where His word will be proclaimed, where His people, my brothers and sisters, gather? Or will I go where these things are not happening and do something else? Know that one kernel of the spiritual joy found in God's presence and among His people is of greater value and importance than all worldly happiness. There's nothing greater in this world than the dwelling place of God, the church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in the world like it. We must recognize the focus of this psalm. It is God and Jesus Christ. Verses 11 and 12 do not mention the house of God, just God Himself. He is why we are here. He is who we worship. The psalm concludes with what God gives us through Jesus Himself. He is our sun and shield. Jesus shines like the sun, but with even greater power and beauty. As our sun, He is powerful. He is our life giver and our provider. As our sun, He shows you the way by giving you His word. In Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Follow Christ and He will show you the way to go. As our shield, He is our protector. He is your rock, your refuge, your fortress. Wear the armor of God. The Lord gives favor, His grace, and honor to us. If you are a child of God, then you have already received honor from God, His grace. And to be God's child is the greatest honor that we can have. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. For those of us who love God, He works all things for our good, which is to conform us to the image of His Son. He is doing a good work in you. The person who is truly blessed is the man and the woman, the boy and the girl, who trusts in God and worships Him. And so we see here what a staggering privilege we have in coming to join together in God's house. God promises to meet us here. It is what we need. It is what our heart desires. It is what God wants. Do not neglect to meet together, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Regular worship at Vernon Canadian Reformed Church is a foretaste of what is to come. Our eternity and joy of worshiping God together. This is heaven on earth. And so plan during the week. Be eager to join together again next week. Again next time, which is even this afternoon, to worship our God. May we be zealous for the church like Jesus. Zeal for God's house consumed him. He said to his parents when he was just 12 years old, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Amen. Let us sing a portion of Psalm 84. Let us stand to sing Psalm 84, verses 1, 2, and 5. We are now invited to give of our offerings. We give out of the abundance that God has given in worship to Him. So let us give.